Thank you again. My name is Sam Wortman. I'm an assistant professor at the University of Illinois in the Department of Crop Sciences, and a couple of our speakers have mentioned polycultures and diverse cover crop mixtures, so we're going to talk about nitrogen fixation in those mixtures today. So obviously cover crops are gaining a lot of interest, as evidenced by the number of people in this room, and some of these the benefits of cover crops have already been discussed and discussed in terms of reducing soil erosion, scavenging residual soil nitrates and other nutrients, the ability to suppress and compete with weeds, build soil organic matter. But what I'm going to focus on today is the capacity for cover crops to increase soil nitrogen fertility through the process of biological nitrogen fixation. So a lot of interest in cocktail cover crop mixtures, polycultures. A lot of seed companies are promoting and marketing these cocktail mixtures. So they're widely available, but there's a lot of questions from farmers about whether this is the best option for them. They kind of believe that it's going to provide a lot of benefits, but they're a little bit leery about maybe implementing them. So some of the reason that there's interest in cover crop mixtures is that we typically see over-yielding effects in terms of biomass productivity in those mixtures. The figure on the right there is from a paper in Agronomy Journal in 2012 that we published showing that across 2, 4, 6, and 8 species cover crop mixtures, we see an over-yielding effect in the mixtures relative to the component species in monoculture. So we do see greater productivity, which is important if you're looking to, for example, build soil organic matter. And we believe that these gains in productivity are the result of increases in resource use efficiency, so greater use of moisture and nutrients per unit biomass. And then related, there's some evidence in the literature to suggest that in intercropping systems, the efficiency of biological nitrogen fixation increases on a per-plant basis in biculture versus monoculture. So again, a potential example of a gain in resource use efficiency. But there's also examples in the literature where nitrogen fixation is hindered due to competition for light when, in many cases, the proportion of legumes in the mixture becomes too low. And then there's also examples where nitrogen fixation may decrease when the legume is competing with tall species in the mixture. So this picture on the right is from one of our field trials this summer where, believe it or not, there's actually cowpeas and soybean underneath that buckwheat and Sudan grass in a five-way mixture. And so you can imagine that there might be some problems with nitrogen fixation in a mixture where it's competing with tall species. And the reason for that is because a lot of studies have shown that nitrogen fixation is highly correlated with leaf area, biomass, and net photosynthesis. So it's hard for a plant to photosynthesize without sufficient leaf area and biomass. So we need to make sure that we have enough leaf area of our legumes. And then from a practical standpoint, farmers are concerned about seed costs. So legumes are consistently more expensive than cover crop seed like rye or certain brassica species. So we need to make sure that we're using these expensive legume seeds in the best way possible. So with all that in mind, our objective for this study was to determine the effects of cover crop community composition and diversity, along with soil fertility, on the capacity for nitrogen fixation in a legume cover crop. And our hypothesis was that it would be consistent with some other gains in resource use efficiency. We kind of thought that if we increase the diversity of the mixture, we'll see some benefit in terms of improving efficiency of per plant capacity for nitrogen fixation. And then we also thought that these effects would be more pronounced in a low nitrogen fertility soil. And so the idea here is that we're hoping to find an ideal mixture or management strategy for maximizing nitrogen fixation. So you'll see in this picture on the right that we did this experiment in the greenhouse in pots. Obviously, cover crops not typically grown in pots or in a greenhouse, but we wanted to start out and take a very mechanistic approach to addressing this question before we took it out into field trials, which I'll touch on at the end of my presentation. So a very mechanistic study. We had two fertility treatments, a low versus high fertility treatment in study one, and then in study two we really focused on nitrogen, kicked down the rate of nitrogen compared to our high nitrogen treatment. And then our five cover crop treatments, we had a cowpea monoculture, and then two bicultures, one with oat, the other with radish, and then two four-way mixtures where we added buckwheat, Ethiopian cabbage, wheat, and sunflower. So we had 7.6 liter pots. We were using a combination of two parts field soil along with some coarse sand and vermiculite just so that we could get some drainage through these pots. And then the topsoil was about 2% organic matter, neutral pH, and it was fairly low levels of macronutrients, so this was a relatively low fertility soil to start with. We inoculated the cowpeas with the appropriate bacterial strains, and then we watered these pots to field capacity daily. So we used two methods to assess the capacity for nitrogen fixation. One, we looked at nodule biomass, and then we also used this acetylene reduction method, which is kind of a qualitative way to assess nitrogenase activity and overall activity of nitrogen fixation. We grew plants in the greenhouse for about 50 days in each trial. Then we brought them into the lab under constant light and temperature conditions before we began this incubation process, clipped the shoots at the soil surface, weighed them, put them in our airtight vessels, which was a glorified 5-gallon bucket with a screw-top lid and some stopcock grease to make a nice airtight vessel. Then we had some entry points to get our gas samples. With the acetylene reduction method, you replace the natural atmosphere with acetylene, because the way that this process works is acetylene gets reduced to ethylene through that nitrogenase activity. We incubated these for 3 hours at room temperature and then extracted our gas samples for analysis on the gas chromatograph. We compared that to a bare soil control and some ethylene standards. And then, as I mentioned, we did also excavate roots and did measured those nodule biomass, analyzed with ANOVA, and we also used a little bit of regression to look at some relationships between some of those continuous variables. So first, now looking at some results, looking at the difference between the two methods, root nodule biomass and nitrogenase activity were positively correlated in both trials. R-squared values greater than 0.69 in both cases. So this suggests that we could potentially use these methods interchangeably for looking at the capacity of nitrogen fixation. This is important because oftentimes root nodules can be difficult to extract from field soils. If you've got a finely textured, very dry soil, not fun to extract nodules, so you might be able to instead dig up the entire root mass and use the acetylene reduction method back in the lab, and vice versa. Sometimes it is easier to get nodule biomass if you've got a coarsely textured soil. So getting to those hypotheses, our hypothesis was contradicted by the data. We actually found that the capacity for nitrogen fixation decreased as we increased the diversity of that mixture. So this suggests some antagonism in mixture or potential synergism in the monoculture. So in a monoculture, those cowpeas are competing vigorously for soil nitrates. Legumes do a great job of that, but then you don't have that competition for light in the canopy like they might with some of those other species. So the figures on the right here on the top, you're looking at nitrogenase activity across cowpea monoculture on the left, cowpea oat, cowpea radish, and then our four-way mixtures moving from left to right. And this is the overall community, so on a per-pot basis, we see that nitrogenase activity decreases more than proportionally to the number of cowpeas in the mixture in both trials. And then if you look at root nodule biomass on the bottom there, you see a similar trend. But to really look at this concept of efficiency, we need to look at a per-plant basis. We didn't see any difference in trial one across the different treatments, so nothing gained or lost when we went to the mixtures versus monocultures. But in trial two, we saw a huge drop in efficiency of BNF in those mixtures. We had a lot of nitrogenase activity and nodule biomass in those monocultures compared to the mixtures. So it seems that we're losing some efficiency in those mixtures. So why are we losing nitrogen fixation in the mixtures? It goes back to leaf area and biomass of the legumes in those mixtures. So even though on the top right figure there, we're looking at community shoot biomass, so consistent with the results that I showed on the first couple slides there, we do see an overyielding effect. So you can see with cowpea radish especially, and then our four-way mixtures, we get an increase in overall biomass of the community. So that's a benefit, and if that's the function, the management factor that you're after, then by all means, use the mixtures. But the bottom right figure demonstrates cowpea biomass in those mixtures. You can see per plant cowpea biomass was greatest in that monoculture in both trials, and then decreased as we went to the two species and then to the four species mixtures as interspecific competition kicked up, especially for light. And this just confirms what's already in the literature. that biomass and nodule shoot biomass and nodule biomass and nitrogenase activity are well correlated, and we found R squared values around 0.5 in both trials. And then we also found that, not surprisingly, nitrogen fixation was reduced in those high fertility soils. So again, just reiterating the fact that it's important for farmers to understand their soil fertility and background soil nitrate levels before using a legume. Again, expensive seed, so if you've got high nitrogen levels to begin with, you're not going to get any new nitrogen to the system through nitrogen fixation with the use of a legume cover crop. So in general, the take-home message here is that mixture matters. So you hear some folks talk about these cocktails where they're just kind of haphazardly throwing different species together at varying proportions. But our data suggests that reducing the legume population to 50% or lower can lead to some inhibition of nitrogen fixation. Our data also suggests that if what you're after is nitrogen fixation and building soil nitrogen fertility, it might be a decent strategy to use a monoculture despite some of the other benefits of a mixture, or at least keep that proportion above 50%. And so we believe that this demands some further research on the interactions in cover crop mixtures. So believe it or not, we're going to continue doing some of this work. We've got a three-year field study, of which we just completed the first year on two farms across, looking at six legume species to further address this hypothesis in the field. This is funded by the Ceres Trust in Illinois. And our question here is, which species in cover crop mixtures contribute most to or detract most from critical cover crop functions? So nitrogen fixation is one of those functions, but then we're also interested in weed suppression, soil nitrogen recovery, soil nitrogen deposition in the field. And so the way that we've set this up is we have six cover crop species in each phase of a possible rotation, and then we've got different mixtures of those cover crops. So six five-way mixtures. So on this figure here, you can see we've got mixture minus buckwheat. These are summer cover crops. Mixture minus cowpea, mixture minus field corn, Sudan grass, tillage radish, and then monoculture soybean. So in the field, nodule biomass of cowpea did not differ across these treatments, but now looking at soybean, what's interesting is if you look at nodule biomass on the y-axis there, when we take Sudan grass out of a five-way mixture but leave all of those other cover crops in there with soybean, we find when we take Sudan grass out, nodule biomass goes up. So Sudan grass gets about yay tall, and soybean does not compete very well, obviously, for lights with that species. However, when you put Sudan grass back into that mixture, and instead you take out tillage radish, which is a much lower canopy species, we find that nodule biomass went down. And so this kind of confirms some of the findings that we saw with cowpea in this greenhouse study, that if you don't get enough biomass and leaf area of that cover crop, you're going to see reductions in nitrogenase activity and nodule biomass. So with that, I think we might have time for a couple questions. Yeah, Stephen. Oh, sorry. Go. No, go ahead. I think we got time for both. We had not considered that, but that's a good suggestion. I mean, I think typically the examples I've seen in the literature are mostly related to proportions. So you find with diverse mixtures that if you get 90 or 80% legumes in the mixture that you can achieve some of those same benefits, but a staggered planting, you might be able to achieve the same things. Good question. Steve?
Really nice work, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering if maybe you can expand a little bit about the management of plots and irrigation plots in greenhouse, and the reason I ask that is we typically find mixtures that generally we do see an increase in BNF with grass legume mixtures, just because the grasses are taking up the soil mineral nitrogen, and so there's less soil mineral land, and so the humans are forced to, you know, fix more of the nitrogen. I just wonder if maybe some of the nitrogen cycling the pots based on how it was irrigated or managed, and you just expand on that.
Yeah, so So that was kind of our hypothesis. We thought, you know, mixtures with rye that would help with scavenging some of those nitrates, improve nitrogen fixation. So the way that we managed those pots is we had, I believe there were 6 fertigation events. So we watered daily, and then it was 50 days. So it was about every 7 to 10 days we were adding a proportion of the total nitrogen. So I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but we calculated how much nitrogen would be needed to reach maturity of these cover crops. So we were in the full end treatment. We were trying to provide all of the nitrogen from the fertigation. We weren't really, it was a really low fertility mixture that we were using, so we weren't depending on any background soil.
I'm going to end it right there just for the sake of time, but let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.